15. Okay, Exodus chapter number 16. Let me just read a little bit there, and then maybe 10 or 12 verses, maybe. The Bible says in Exodus, or in verse number 1, and they took their journey from Elim. I tell you what, let me back up and let's look in chapter 15. I want to start there, I believe. Let's start in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Let me read a few verses into chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, here it is again, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and I need your touch. If I'm going to be of any value tonight, I need you to touch me and anoint me and help me to preach with unction. I ask you to open the hearts of your people. And God, please speak to hearts tonight. If there's anything here that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you just still it or quieten it or whatever needs doing, would you just do that so the Holy Spirit can work? Help us now, Lord. We'll give you glory and honor for all you do. Help me and help your people, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' precious name. We do pray. Amen and amen. Well, it seems that what we've been teaching is almost like a broken record. Here is a group of people, and they're struggling from A to Z. They're down in the world, in Egypt, the type of the world, and they're struggling. And so the deliverer comes to God sends a deliverer in the form of Moses and Aaron, and he starts to deliver the people. And the fact of the matter is, there's a struggle to escape Pharaoh's bondage. And then they finally escape Pharaoh's bondage, and they get in the wilderness, and another picture of the world, I think a different aspect of it, as far as you and I are concerned, another aspect of the world, and they're struggling again. And the fact of the matter is, when it comes to time to go into Canaan, they're struggling again. And the fact of the matter is, when they get in Canaan, it's not long till they're struggling again. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you, we're looking at struggling people, and if you struggle, if you're having a struggle, there may be some lessons, some truths you can glean to help you. And so that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about this idea, some things to keep in mind when you're in the wilderness. Some things to keep in mind when you're in the wilderness. Now, if we were to look in Exodus 14 and verse number 31, you would say this to me if we just had that one verse, hey, these folks are doing good. I mean, I want you to notice what it says in chapter 14, verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servants and His servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Now, here's where we're at when we come to chapter number 15. Everything's going right. They've been delivered. They have saw the Pharaoh. They saw him killed. They're experiencing victory. The Bible says here that they feared the Lord, which is a good thing. The Bible says that they believed the Lord and the Lord's man, which is a good thing. And in chapter 15, verse number 1, it says this, they were praising the Lord. Now, there's nothing, that in itself, if you and I just had that, we'd say, they've made it. They've arrived. They're where they ought to be. But the fact of the matter was, they hadn't arrived. And the fact of the matter was that, and by the way, we ought to praise the Lord publicly when we have spiritual victory. You know, I'm afraid that too many times the Lord blesses and does things in our life and we never publicly thank Him one time. I think we all ought to take an inventory there and just check up. And I'm going to tell you, if the Lord does something for you and does something in your life, you ought to thank Him for it. You ought to let Him know that. And so we see these folks, they seem to be doing good. And here's what I think down on the inside. I think they felt like this. We have arrived. Life is good. I think for the first time, maybe in a long time, they're thinking this. Life is good. I mean, it's going my way for a change. The enemy's dead. We're free. I mean, things are looking up. And I've just got it there thinking, Here's what I've got in my mind. They're thinking, life's going to be easy now. Things is going to be easy. I mean, the Lord is, He's freed us from Egyptian bondage. He's killed our master who was Lord, who was making, slaves out of us. And He's taking care of those things and life is good. But the fact of the matter is, life, they had a skewed opinion of life. What they thought and what they had in their mind wasn't how it really was going to be. And I'm afraid we get that way sometimes. And so, when we look at this and when we pick up our text, they've been baptized in the sea. Now think about the typology. They've been baptized in the sea. They took 3 days' journey in the wilderness. Fact of the matter is, we could almost say they're on resurrection ground. Could we not? In a type. 3 days, the resurrection occurred. After being baptized into the death, He was raised again. And so you can see that spelled out in the book of Hebrews. And so I want us to look at this tonight as a picture of the believers as they go to Canaan. Now I want to just kind of put something to you to think about. They could not get to Canaan without passing through the wilderness. They didn't jump out of Egypt and immediately they're in Canaan. It was a journey to get to the Canaan of their life. And I want to say this to you. If you're not in Canaan, there is going to be some wilderness journey. And you're going to be defeated unless there's some things that you keep in your mind. Now I want to ask you today, are you in the perfect will of God? Can you say to me, preacher, I'm in the perfect will of God? We were talking last night, and I said this, you can't always go straight to the perfect will of God. Sometimes you have to start moving in that direction and wait on God to help you get there. And that's where they're at. And I want to say this, if you're not in the perfect will of God, you need to start in that direction. Whatever it might be, whether it's your home out of the perfect will of God, whatever it is, you need to start in that direction. And that's what they're doing. And so we see, let me quote a fella here I read, and I thought it would bear repeating. Andrew Bonner said this, "Let us be as watchful after the victory as before the battle." Let me say that again. Let us be as watchful after the victory as before the battle. There's some merit in that statement. There's something to be said there, because when God blesses us, if we're not careful, we'll get a false sense of accomplishment. We'll feel like that we had a hand in it. We had something to do with it. And if we're not careful, Brother Miller, we're more vulnerable after the battle than we are before the battle. And you need to get that little truth in your mind. And so, we need to be aware of that. And it is possible to win the battle and lose the war. I said that earlier, but it's possible to do that. You can win a few battles, and they spend a lot of focus on spiritual battles, but really they've lost the overall war. Somewhere along the way, they've won this victory, and they've won this victory, and they've won this victory. Somewhere they got defeated, and they were through. And so you need to be aware of that. You can win a few battles, but that doesn't mean you've won the war. And so here they are, they're coming off a great victory. And we know, you know, if you've been in this thing very long, they were vulnerable. And so we see in our text there was some things the children of Israel should have reminded themselves of as they traveled in the wilderness. And it would have helped them. They were defeated in the wilderness. Think about it. They got across the Red Sea on dry ground. They saw Pharaoh killed. They went a long ways in the wilderness, but can I tell you, they never got to Canaan. One fella said this, out of 600,000 men, 2 men got to Canaan. 2 out of 600,000. Now, I don't know what that percentage is, but you can figure it up. That would mean maybe most of us would never get to Canaan. A Canaan the type, the perfect will of God for your life. And here's what I say. Are you in Canaan? Do you want Canaan? Are you interested in Canaan? If you're not interested, you ain't going. Don't worry about it, you ain't going. But are you interested in going to Canaan? And if you are, you're going to have to go through the wilderness. You're not going to just wake up and there you are, it's there. You're going to have to journey through the wilderness to get there. And as you journey through the wilderness, there's going to be some testings to mature you, and the devil's going to be there while God's trying to mature you. He's trying to set you back. And you've got to understand that. The devil's trying to set everyone in this room back. He wants you set back. You say it's not going to happen. It's happened to better folks than you all. That's right. I'm telling you right. Hey, it can happen to me, and it can happen to you, and it can happen to the best preacher that passes through here, unless we keep some things in mind. And I just want to talk to you about that for a little bit. Number one, we need to keep in mind that life is a pilgrimage. It's not a one-time victory. And some of y'all have had some spiritual victories that will not guarantee future victories. You might as well forget that. And that will not guarantee that life's easy from here on out. Life is a pilgrimage, and it involves lessons, and it involves battles, and it involves challenges in your life, And those challenges are to help you learn and help you grow and help you mature. But if you're self-confident in your past victories and you don't realize that there's another battle and another battle and another battle, there's a good chance you're going to suffer defeat. There's a good chance of that. I wonder, are you ready for the next battle? What is it? I don't know. But it's coming. That's life. That's what life is, a school, if you want to say it that way. And I want to say this. I'm not so sure. I am sure we ought not pray for easier lives, but we ought to pray that God make us stronger men and women. Those troubles we face mold us and shape us into what God wants us to be. You see, this thing is not just about one big battle and everything's over. We battle till we die. You've got to understand that, folks. And just even when they got in Canaan, they had greater battles there than what they had in the wilderness. I really think those wilderness trials was just in preparation so they could be effective in Canaan. Folks, just because you've won a few battles, it's not over. And you better get that in your heart and mind. And I wrote this down, I'm just gonna read it to you. One great victory does not ensure a life of ease and a life that's trouble free. It doesn't do it. And you may be sitting right there and feeling smug. You've got it going your way, everything. But can I tell you, the battle's coming. It's coming in your life. And you've got to understand that. Otherwise, you're going to fall apart when it comes. Well, God's my God. Why is He letting this happen in my life? And why is this going on? Why is that going on? Hey, I'm telling you, God's people struggle from earth to heaven. You're going to struggle. It's part of it. I'm not preaching gloom and doom. There's some good days and happy times. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to battle till we get home. Just how it is. All right, let's go on. Number one, life is a pilgrim, and it has new lessons and new battles for us every day. We need to understand that. And then I want to say too, at times situations get worse before they get better. Sometimes our problems are progressive. Now they took a 3-day journey. The first day there was no water. Really wasn't much of a problem. The second day it was a little more of a concern. By now, I guess the children are starting to ask the parents about something to drink and thirst, and maybe the livestock, the herds that they brought out of Egypt. I guess they were needing some water. And the third day, this need, this situation of need becomes a serious situation. Every day it's getting worse. It's not getting better. Now I want to ask you, have you seen times like that in your life? I mean, you know you're saved. You got to keep in mind, that's in the will of God. They were in the will of God. They were submitted to God. They were submitted to the man of God, but things is just getting worse. And I want you to understand that sometimes in the perfect will of God, submitted to God, to the man of God, things just get worse before they get better. Does that mean God's nowhere around? No. It just means you and I, that we need to understand, sometimes we can be very concerned about something, and we think we've got it worked out, or we've got it stabilized, and it many times it'll get worse. It'll get worse. That doesn't mean God's forgot you. That doesn't mean God's turned His back on you. Can I tell you what it really means? It means God's testing you. He's trying to do something in your life many times. And you've got to understand that. And one thing we need to remember, that sometimes things get worse before they get better. And that a lot of times when that's going on, God's testing us to show us, not Him, He knows, but to show us what's in our hearts. How many times have you looked back and said, really, I failed God. I quit trusting Him. I'll never forget about Guy Cable, I believe was his name, Brother Bud. Was that your friend that Brother Bud used to come in here and he would say this, pray for Guy Cable. Pray for Guy Cable. He said it enough, I got burdened about Guy Cable. And I started praying. I prayed for him about 6 months. Nothing happened. I didn't see anything happen. And I'm ashamed to tell you, I gave up praying. Well, you all know, many of you know the story. A year or so later, 6 months or a year after I quit praying, he came in one day and he's sitting right over there. And you know the story, he stood up and said, the Lord saved. Can I tell you, I got defeated. I got defeated before the Lord ever done that. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes situations will remain unchanged or even get worse. You know what the Lord showed me? I really wasn't the Christian I thought I was. I really wasn't the good, godly, sold out, dedicated, faithful man of God praying for sinners that I ought to have been. You know what He showed me? I had a heart problem. Had a heart problem. He didn't do that because He didn't know what was in my heart. But He let me experience that so He could show me how unfaithful I really was. And that, I think sometimes these things come in our life just so the Lord can show you and I what we really are. What really is down on the inside. But if we're going to be successful as we journey through the wilderness trying to get to Canaan, Can I tell you what has to be kept in mind? We have to keep in mind that even though we're in the perfect will of God, sometimes we're going to go through situations going to get worse and worse and worse and maybe even get desperate and maybe even get dangerous. I mean, I think it's probably getting dangerous 3 days without water. I'd say it's getting to be a pretty serious situation. And so, but we need to understand that many times God allows us to go through that. But then I think we need to understand too, we need to keep in mind some things about the wilderness, the character of the wilderness. The one thing you need to understand, the wilderness can't satisfy you. Did you realize within itself, the wilderness did not satisfy God's children? Now if that is indeed another picture of the world, what that's really saying is the world will never satisfy you if you're truly a child of God. That's what it's saying to you. The world will never satisfy you if you're truly a child of God. And we've got a lot of God's people, can I just tell you, they're half in, half out. And can I tell you, you're half miserable. Maybe all the way miserable. And the only really true happiness to a child of God is just to get in God's will for your life and get out of the world. And I know we're playing that game. We want all the world has to offer and all God has to offer, and it doesn't work. You can't have it that way. It's not gonna be that way. The wilderness can't satisfy. I could say it this way, it's a place of no water. It's a place of bitter water until God does a work. It's a place of bitter water. And only after God intervenes are they satisfied. I just want to say this to you, and maybe I just need to talk to you tonight. If you're dabbling in the world, you're wasting your time. As far as being happy and being satisfied and being contented, you're wasting your time. You can play in the world, you can play in the church, but I'm just telling you, the world won't satisfy you. And the world gives a false hope. It makes lying promises to you. They were going down through there and they came to Myra and they saw that water and they said, our problem's solved. They hadn't drunk of it yet. They just saw it. Hey, there's water. There's water. There's what we need. That'll take care of our problems. Did it? Didn't work, did it? You see, all the world has is bitterness for the child of God. That's all it has until the Lord takes you to the water, the true water and places that we'll see in verse 27. The world's a bitter place to the child of God. You may think, we see all the brainwashing on the commercials that the alcohol and the new car and the beautiful women, what makes you happy. But can I tell you, that's what destroys lives. I was preaching on the wicked woman last night in the prison, telling those men how she laid in wait and she hunted and that she made victims out of those that came her way. And as we were leaving, this one fellow shook my hand and he said, "Preacher, you preached my life last night. You preached my life tonight." That's what he said to me. "You just preached my life." And you know, the world tells you that'll make you happy. Fact of the matter is, it'll make you miserable. That bitter water didn't satisfy, didn't solve the problem, didn't remove the danger. It didn't do any of those things. Not till God intervened. But aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that when the world can't satisfy, He can? Well, hallelujah. I'm glad I have joy, Brother Steve, and satisfaction, not because of the world, but because of my Savior tonight. I live in this old wicked, dangerous, God-forsaken, in a sense, God-forsaken world. And I still have joy and satisfaction in my heart. And drink the water that'll satisfy my soul because of Him. Hallelujah. Well, here they are and they're going through Myron. God has to do a work, tell the man of God what to do, and He throws the stick. And then if you want to picture that as the cross, do whatever you want. But the thing I want to get across to you tonight, our Lord's able to take something bitter and make it sweet. That's the kind of God I serve. Take something bitter and make it sweet. I say hallelujah to Him tonight. The wilderness gives a false hope and promise. The wilderness, you know, the wilderness was never made to be a permanent home. Wasn't made to be a permanent home. Their home was Canaan. It wasn't intended for them to live in the wilderness and to die in the wilderness. That wasn't God's will for their life. And I want to tell you, if you never find the will of God, if you die outside the will of God, it's not pleasing to the Lord. If you fail to cross over into Canaan, you displease the Lord. You can just say what you want to about it. He doesn't want you to live your life in the wilderness. And you need to keep these thoughts in your mind as you're trying to get to Canaan. The wilderness, can I tell you, it created dissension between the people and the preacher. They murmured against Moses. Moses trying to get them to go to Canaan. And they're struggling. I mean, this first little old bump in the road, they just got started. And here's a little bump in the road, and they went to pieces over it. And who they blame and who they get upset, that's the preacher. The wilderness caused dissension between the preacher and the people. And you need to keep that in mind. If the devil can, while you're in the wilderness, he'll cause problems between you and the preacher. And if the preacher gets in the wilderness and you're headed to Canaan, it'll create problems. And the wilderness, let me just say this before we go on, the wilderness will provoke your flesh. It will make you want to act and do and commit ungodly sins. The wilderness provoked them to murmuring. How many of y'all complain? I guess I'm already off my message. Just let me tell you this. They forgot about the fact that God had led them there. It was the pillar, the pillar cloud by day and the fire by night that had brought them to where they was at. God had led them there. He had brought them there. God had let that circumstance occur in their life. And I understand we can't blame God on everything, but God's taking them through the fires to make them what they ought to be so they handle Cain. And here they are murmuring. They wasn't really murmuring against the man of God. They was murmuring against God. That's right. You better be careful about murmuring against me or any man of God. It may be you're murmuring against God instead of me or instead of somebody else. Better be careful. I mean, here they are murmuring. Here's what 1 Corinthians 10 and 10 says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. There's been a lot of people destroyed because of no murmuring spirit they've had and can't get past it. How about it? You a murmuring, complainer, and griper all the time, critical minded, always trying to find fault, wouldn't lift a hand to help nobody, but everything that's done, you have a problem with it, whether you verbalize it or not. Can I tell you, you better be careful. It may destroy you. It may destroy you. Brother Don, I appreciate that good amen. Thank you. It may destroy you. The old murmuring spirit, they murmured against the man of God. But they ought to kept that in mind that God hates murmuring, complaining. God hates that. He said, rejoice. I say, and all, I butchered it, but again, I say, always rejoice. I might just turn that over. Where's that at? Is that in Philippians? Let me read that to you. I can find it. I believe I can find it just a minute here. Let me four and four. See if I can find it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know when you get that old bad, whiny, complaining, nasty attitude, I think it displeases God. I think you're sinning against God. There's been a lot of... Really, I think it's the first cousin to bitterness. I really think it may be a stepping stone to bitterness. Some folks can't get past it. They will not let themselves get past it. They will not lay a situation down and say, hey, God will take care of that and I'm going on. They can't do it. They won't do it. And because of that, they're destroyed over it. I say to you, you better keep this in your mind as you face some of these troubles of life. God hates a murmuring and complaining spirit. He hates it, Brother Steve. He's been too good for us to act like that. That's exactly right. And so, there's some things we need to keep in mind as we travel through the wilderness trying to get to Cain, we need to realize life's a pilgrimage and not just one great victory and then we're home free. There's new battles and new experiences that we must encounter. And we need to keep in mind sometimes things get worse. Every day the problem got worse. And we need to keep in mind that the wilderness, it's not a place for you to dwell forever. It's just a passing through place. It's a dangerous place. It can't satisfy you unless the Lord puts His blessings upon your life. And it gives false hope and it creates dissension between the preacher and the people and it'll provoke your flesh to murmuring, and God hates murmuring. He hates it. We ought to work hard. We ought to work hard. I've seen some of God's people. I'm just going to tell you, they're the complainest people I ever seen. I don't understand it. I don't understand as good as God's been to us. I appreciate happy people. I do. I appreciate people that's pleasant, happy, and not complaining. And Everything's wrong. The world's wrong. And it is wrong. I understand all that. We ought to be happy. You ought to work at that. I'll never forget what old Brother Buck used to say. He said, I refuse to... What was the word he used? Said, I believe it. Sometimes he'd say, I refuse to become discouraged, and I refuse to get bitter. I believe that's the word he used. I refuse to be bitter. And there's a lot of older folks, they're just bitter. I don't know why they're just bitter. God's been good to every one of us. We ought to be a happy people. And so God hates murmuring. Let me go on real quick, maybe, and give you these other four or five. They needed to keep in mind that God was still with them. God was still with them. He had led, I've already said it, but let me just say it again. He had led them to where they were at. He allowed what was happening to happen. He had taken care of them in the past. He had taken care of them. How have you got from the time you're saved to here, how have you gotten from A to B? Can I tell you, it's not been your ability. It's been God that's helped you. Now, based on what He's done from the time you're saved to now, do you believe He can take us another 10 years? What about 20? I'm just going to tell you, I believe He can see us all the way home. I don't believe it. I know He can see us all the way home. Hey, He has all power in heaven and earth. And He loves me too much to do me wrong, Brother Steve. What a God. What a God I serve. All power in heaven and earth. He has my best interest over His own best interest. Can I tell you, He just loves me tonight. And He loves me too much to do me wrong. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Glory to God. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Well, glory. He'd taken care of them thus far. He loved them too much to do them wrong. And He'd take the bitter and make it sweet. We need to remember God's still with us through these troubles. But then I want you to notice something odd. It almost seems like it's out of place. Verse 24 said, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? But then notice verse 25. And he cried to the... I'm trying to get to 26. Notice 25 and 26. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There He made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there He proved them. Now notice what He said. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now you say, what in the world? We're talking about water. We're talking about murmuring, complaining people, and God solves their problem for them in verse 25. And then He says this, and I'm just going to say it in East Tennessee language. If you'll obey me, I'll bless you. Obedience produces blessings. Isn't that what verse 26 is saying in essence? You can call it healing. You can call it whatever you want to. But here's what God said. I'm going to bless you if you'll obey me. Why should I line my home up by the Word of God? Because I want blessings from God. He told me how it should be. If I line it up with that, I want blessings. Why should I go avoid places God's told me not to go? Because I want to be blessed. You know what the word blessed it means? It means happy. I want to be happy. I want to be truly happy. I do. I know sometimes I probably don't look like I'm happy, but really deep in my soul, when you get right down there where it counts, I'm as happy as I can be in the Lord. He's been so good to me. So good to me. And if you want those blessings, if you want happiness, can I tell you the key to it? Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And I just want to tell you little bunch tonight, them little things you know you ought to do and you're not doing, you ought to just trust and obey. Y'all just trust Him and obey. Because you know what it'll do? It'll just bring blessings in your life. That's all it'll do. And so we see that God was telling them after they failed this test at Marah, He said, if you'll just trust and obey, I'll bless your life. I'll bless you. And then we see too, not only that, we ought to keep that in mind, that blessings, the Lord said He'd bless us if we would faithfully obey. But then we see too, and I'm just going to throw these out right quick, this situation was only temporary. We're one verse away, verse 27, the Lord brought them to the place where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they got to camp out there a while. You see, these little tests and these little trials, they don't last forever. They're just here for a little while, and then we go on, and there'll be another test, but we'll get past that, and we'll go on again if we'll stay with the Lord. You see, they needed to remember some things. And I want to close out with something I've already said earlier. But always remember this, the wilderness is a prerequisite to Canaan. It's a prerequisite. Can't get to Canaan outside of going through the wilderness. And my, so many times we want to escape that, we want to dodge it, we want to miss it. But it's necessary. It prepares us and gets us ready for the Canaan land fight and battle. That's going to be waiting on us. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, as you make your way from Egypt to Canaan, keep those things in mind. Keep some of those things. Life's a pilgrimage. It's not a one-event thing and we have victory and that's it. It's future battles, future experiences. It's a continual thing. Keep in mind that the situations can get worse before they get better. Keep in mind that the wilderness cannot satisfy the child of God. It's not meant to be your home. It's not meant to be. It's just to be a passing by place. Keep in mind that God hates murmuring, complaining. He hates it. He hates murmuring, complaining. Keep in mind that God will stay with you even in the wilderness. Even when you're disobedient, God's there. He's there. If you're truly saved, God resides down on the inside. There ain't nothing you're going through that He ain't there going through with you. When Mary Martha was crying, can I tell you what the Lord did? He cried with him. That's a pretty good God right there. I'm telling you, He'll go with you, and when you're crying, He'll be crying. He'll go with you. God was still with him. Blessings are based on obedience. Testings are only temporary. And you can't get to Canaan without a wilderness experience. And that's what we see in chapter 16. And you know, here they are. They've struggled from the word go. I mean, it is all they could do. God had to just bare His arm to get them out of Egypt. He just had to bare His arm. Now they're in the wilderness trying to get to Canaan. They're struggling again. They're going to Canaan. When they get to Canaan, if you want to go over and read it, they struggled again. You say, what was the problem? Can I tell you? They tried to do things without the Lord. And when you and I try to do things without the Lord and leave Him out, can I tell you? Life's going to be a struggle for us. And so, here's what I'm saying. Learn these lessons. Saddest thing I can think about is for some of you all dying in the wilderness. Where are you at? Let's stop just a minute and talk. Where are you at spiritually? Are you in Canaan for your life? I can't answer that question. I would like to, but I can't. That's your battle. That's your analysis. Are you in Canaan? Are you where God wants you to be? If not, start moving in that direction. And let God take you. And let Him fight your battles. If you look at chapter 15, you'll see that here's part of their praise song. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. That's part of the song they're singing in chapter 15. Verse number 3, if you want to look at it. The Lord's, let Him fight your battles for you. Learn what you're supposed to learn, and let's go on for the glory of God. Brother Allen, let's have a verse of a song tonight. Just a verse. I'll ask you to bow your head. There's some things you need to keep in mind as you're working your way toward Canaan, trying to find where God would have you to reside and abide and labor and fight and do the work of God. I just want to have a verse of a song tonight. Maybe God spoke to your heart during the message. Maybe you've been burdened and troubled all day and you just need to pray. I don't know, and it doesn't. It's not necessary for me to know, but would you be obedient if the Lord spoke to you tonight? Sing to us, Brother Allen, when you get ready.